Our speaker this morning is our brother Josh Austin. Josh is a graduate of Bear Valley. He and his wife Divine went to Kayenta, Arizona, and worked there on the reservation for a number of years. And if you know anything at all about that work, you know, first of all, that it was difficult work. Second of all, you know what a tremendous job that Josh and Divine did there. And had a wonderful impact, not just in converting the lost there in that community, but also they were a rock for all of the preachers that preached in the various locations throughout the Indian Reservation. Josh is one that came to work with us and was coordinator of the Cameroon Extension, but his love for this kind of work has led him down a different path. And so tomorrow, Josh leaves us and moves to Arizona. I asked him, even though this is a diversion from kind of the theme on what we're talking about this month in chapel, to tell us a little bit about his plans and his work. And so, Josh, let us hear what's going on.
Thanks, Danny. Before I forget, and just wanted to say thank you to all the students who came out this yesterday to help out. I really appreciate it. I am very, very grateful for you guys that came out, and we had a good number show up, and in 1 hour we knocked it out. And so it was awesome. You guys did great. The ladies came in, cleaned rooms and bathrooms and all of that. So we're very grateful, and Lord willing, tomorrow we'll be pulling out. Second, I want to thank Denny for the opportunity. This is great to be here and get a chance to share a little bit more about our plans as we move forward into looking at getting back into Native American work and working there. And I have this up here just to have you get a chance to look here. And for those of you that are new and have not heard my story, I was born and raised on the Navajo Indian Reservation, which is in northern Arizona, and then came to Denver and went to the University of Denver here. Now, I want to share this with you because growing up on the Navajo Reservation, it's 95% Navajo, and so I was one of the few white people. And so it was a very interesting transition moving to Denver, and especially to the University of Denver, that's primarily a white college. And so I had tremendous culture shock. And it was difficult to deal with all the white people that were there. But one of the things that happened was I remember just how much culture shock I had. I mean, I was here in September, and I went home for homecoming, and that was 1 month later. I didn't want to come back. I did not want to come back. I was looking for anything familiar. And I don't know if you know it or not, but down here on Sheridan and Morrison, not too far, there used to be the Indian Center that's here in Denver. And so I used to go there just because it was familiar. They used to have powwows there. They would just have activities there. I was desperate and searching for something familiar of the reservation. Well, after coming here and going to Bear Valley, we went back to Kayenta on the reservation. And just recently, as we've been looking at the opportunities down in Phoenix, I started thinking about all those people that come from the reservations to the city and the transitions that they're going through and looking for something familiar. And we want to try to help fill some of those needs. Now, if you look at this map here, I started doing some research on Phoenix and some of the things that are going on there. There's 4.5 million people in Phoenix, and the statistics tell us that out of all of Phoenix, there's over 100,000 Native Americans that live there. It's the second most populated metro area in America. And so what we have here is, if you look at this map, I wanted to show this to you because you notice that there's some green here, and then right here, it just turns into dirt. You notice this here, and there's going to be some landmarks that I want you to look at, and there's this freeway that goes down around a big part of the metro area here, Mesa and Gilbert, and then there's a big freeway that loops around. Well, you notice how all the freeways kind of verge here because there's a mountain that's here, And then right here, there's a reservation. And so that's the Pima Reservation. And if you look at it, you've got a large population of people here, large population of people there. And then right down into the middle, where all the freeways converge, is the Pima Reservation. And so this is where we would like to plant a congregation. And I'll share a little bit more about that here in a while. But if you can really see it on Google Maps, just how it changes there. And so now, I'm not tech savvy enough to make that happen automatically. So, like I said, over 106,000, 60% of all Native Americans live in the metro area. And I started looking at where are the natives found. And so we're saying if we want to go to Phoenix, and we're saying on the Navajo Reservation, it's the largest reservation. There's over 200,000 Navajos on the Navajo Reservation. That's the largest in America. So you got 200,000, but that's 200,000 is split over 26,000 square miles. That's bigger than the state of West Virginia. So on the Navajo Reservation, it will take you 4.5 hours to drive from one side to the other. And for those of you that have been down there, you know how spread apart it is. Well, if you've got 200,000 people over a huge area, we have 100,000 people right here just in Phoenix. And so in 1 hour, if we're right here in the middle, I can reach 100,000 Native Americans in a shorter space. And so that's what we started looking at where are the people located, because we're saying that's where we need to get to. We need to find the people. Well, they're spread out everywhere. On the reservation, there's only 10,000 people, Pimas, on that reservation. But if you look in Mesa, there's over 24,000. And then if you look at the Scottsdale-Phoenix area, 18,000. And then right here in Phoenix, 19, and then 24. And so again, I'm trying to say, where can we get centrally located to reach the majority of the people? If we're here, then right here, we're reaching this population, pretty close to here, and then this population. From here all the way to here is a 30-minute drive. And in the city, that's not that bad. Most people in Bear Valley and metropolitan areas are driving 20, 30 minutes, and Denny goes farther. But, you know, we know that people will drive the distances. And so there's from about 30 minutes, we can reach three-fourths of the population of what we're trying to reach. Now, when we looked at this, I started calling around to all the, I didn't call all the congregations, but I tried to call the majority that I could get a hold of, and out of all of the Churches of Christ in Phoenix, I could only track down about 10 and maybe 15 faithful Native Christians. And that's less, percentage-wise, that's less Christians in Phoenix than in all of the Navajo Reservation. Percentage-wise, there's more Navajo Christians than Native American Christians down here in Phoenix. And so there's a great need to reach the people there. And so when I was growing up in Kayenta, and also over the last 9 years, unemployment is off the charts. 45% unemployment rate on the reservation. Poverty level is about 70%. And so everybody goes to Phoenix to get a job or to get an education. And so that's where most Native Americans go, not just Navajo, but Apache and Hopi and Havasupai and all of these people come to Phoenix for their education and their jobs. And so then I said, all right, well, the people are spread out everywhere. Where are we going to find them? Where are we going to try to reach these people? And so we started saying, well, first of all, you've got the reservation right here that's right in the metro area. You've got the Pima Reservation. And we've got some contacts on that reservation. Some of you know Pat and Alex Osif and Stenson Osif, who was wanting to come to school here. They are, even though they're half Navajo, they are registered with the Pima tribe. And so they work there, and they have some connections there. And so we're going to be able to find an opportunity. There's a school right here, an elementary school, that we would like to meet at and start meeting in this area. And then the next place that I wanted to show you that we want to look at is where this cross is at. There are so many Native Americans that they have an Indian hospital in Phoenix. And so an entire hospital is devoted to taking care of the Native American people, and you can see where that's located. And there's a picture of the facility, so it's a good-sized facility. The next place that we thought we could work, try to meet the people, was the Indian Center. Again, there are so many Natives that they have an entire Indian Center, so that when you've got people coming to Phoenix and they're saying, we need help finding a job, then you go there and they'll help do job placement. They'll also help do job training. So they'll do some job training for you, and then they'll help find you jobs. They'll also help with housing. Where can we find housing? They do several different things. So again, if we're trying to reach a certain group of people, we're saying those that are hurting and those who need help. So the hospital, they a lot of Natives there that are in need of help, that are in need of healing. And then the Indian Center, a lot of people who are in need of help. Just real quickly, the Indian Center, again, you can see it's a good-sized facility. They've got a lot of space to work with. And this is from their website. They said that they help serve over 6,000 American Indians. And they gave some statistics, like 29% of the people we deal with have a job. In other words, 70% unemployed people that they're dealing with. 68% of the people are headed by women, and 65% have children. In other words, almost 70% of the people are single mothers that are unemployed that they're dealing with. And so you can kind of see the percentages there. This is what they wrote, and I just told you about my story. Moving from the reservation to a city is a huge transition. Most families have lived in Phoenix less than 10 years, many of them moving here within the last 3 years. And so again, they're looking for something familiar. They're out of the comfort zone. They're looking for opportunities to need help. And so that's the people that we're going to be chasing after. And jobs on tribal lands are limited. Therefore, coming to the city are looking for jobs and better education. Things that most people know when you grow up on the reservation. They have things like this. Do you want to learn how to communicate with your children? And the Phoenix Indian Center, May 10th, Tuesdays and Thursday afternoons, free workshop and child care provided. How to behavioral management, how to help decision-making coaching, risky behavior responses, counseling type things, teaching. And if we can volunteer there, they're going to be looking for people that say, hey, can you help with a family class? Can you help with counseling some of these youth? Can you help get involved? So those are some ways that we want to reach out to the people there and provide some counseling. When we were in Kayenta, they had on Tuesdays at 3 o'clock a spiritual hour. And they would have medicine men come in. They would have just anybody could come. So on Tuesdays at 3 o'clock, I was able to go in and teach the Bible. And wow. This is a funded program by them. And because they understand the importance of spirituality. And they understand that Natives are going to go from nothing to traditional, to Christian, to Mormon, but they want some kind of spirituality. So again, if we can get involved with things like that, creating some contacts. I told you about the Native housing units and the colleges. I found out on that Indian Center, they said they help do job or housing placement. And I was like, well, how does that work? And found out they have 9 townhouses and apartment units that they help place Native Americans into. And so you've got 9 apartment complexes, so if we just happen to be knocking doors, then guess which doors we're going to be knocking, you know? And so you're trying to find your people, and that's where we're going, is right in that area. And then the final thing I wanted to share with you here, a big one to me, is there are 3 universities. Arizona State University, Mesa Community College, and Scottsdale Community College. And these are the people that I can relate to. Without stepping on any toes, there is a campus work at ASU, but I want to ask them if I can just specifically work with the Native Americans and say, hey, I would like to work with the Native Americans here, because if we're located here,
we are nice and close to all of these colleges. And amongst these three schools right here, there's more colleges on this side, but these are the main three. There's anywhere from 8,000 to 10,000 Native American college students. Now you're dealing with a different kind of person that has left the reservation or has the initiative and the desire to go to a college. Now we're hoping to reach these guys and convert them. And my long-term goal is I would like to be able to convert them and get them excited and then send them back to their reservations. Because it's very challenging to get some of the people from the reservation to take that step of leaving the reservation and to come to something like Bear Valley. They're saying, I don't have the education. I barely graduated high school. And so if we're dealing with some college students, then these guys are going to maybe have a little bit more of that desire. And if we can get them converted, like just about an hour east of Phoenix over here, there is an Apache reservation, which is the second largest reservation in Arizona. The Lord's Church does not exist there. And so instead of me going there, if we can get these Apaches who are coming to school here and coming here for a job, we can get them converted, get them maybe to Bear Valley, and get them trained. Then they can go back to their reservations where they're from, which is what I did. I came to Denver, and I came here for school and jobs, but I found Bear Valley, and when I fell in love with the Lord and His church, then my desire was to go back to where I was from. And that's what I really believe can happen here as well, is that we can start getting some of the Navajos and the Apaches and the Hopis converted and trained and excited and get them going back to their tribes and where their reservations are from. And so these are some of the places that we're looking at. And it will reciprocate. So maybe they don't become preachers, but some of them move down for a job or they get educated and they want to move back to the reservation to become a school teacher. If we converted them in Phoenix, then they move back to the reservation and we've got more Navajo Christians or more Apache Christians. And then if you've got people on these reservations and we've got contacts there, then they're saying, hey, I've got a sister that's moving down there. Can you touch base with her? No problem. Now they're coming down and we can touch base with them. Christians that are leaving the reservations and coming to Phoenix, we're losing them. When we were in Kayenta, we had 15 people. We had 15 people from Kayenta move down to Phoenix, either for jobs or for education, and none of them are faithful. They're either struggling or they're unfaithful right now. 15 of them left Kayenta. Well, if we can help make that transition, because again, they're coming into a city and then they're trying to fit into a church, a congregation there, and it's a challenge. And so they're finding it challenging to worship and they're saying she's different. And so we want to be that connector that will help keep more natives faithful. And so these are some of the things that we're looking at. There are always events going on like powwows, athletic events, fairs, that we'll be able to find a lot of people. Like if you have the high school state tournament going on, there's about 20,000-30,000 natives that are coming down to Phoenix for these basketball tournaments. It's just crazy. And so if we get into some of those areas, we'll be able to start reaching the native people. Now, I'll share this with you guys. This is our time is about up, but we didn't want to just do a church plant, because if you look at all the items that are here, if you look at all the items that are here in this area, in my mind I was saying we should plant a congregation here, because it seems like that's where most of the housing units are, the Indian Center, the hospital, all of that is right there. That's where we should plant a congregation. And the Lord's Church is not very prevalent in that area. There's a few scattered around, but not right in that area. So I said, we could do a church plant here. But my difficulty was that from my reading and talking to different people who've done church plants, is you get what they call swelling. And so you've got different people from around the city that are already Christians that are saying, hey, did you know there's a new church just right down the road?
And now you could have 30 to 40 people just showing up because it's a new church. And maybe they're not happy with this congregation over here, and they're saying, hey, we want to try to do something new as well. And now you've got 30 or 40 people swelling. Well, that's not our goal. We don't want to do this swell church. What we want is, we wanted to say, how can we focus on the Native American people? And so I try to say, is there a filter? And a natural filter. I don't want to be racist, but you know, we're basically saying we're going after the Native American people. So we don't want just a group of swelling. So that's why I thought maybe on the reservation, if the people know that it's on the reservation, it may create a natural filter where people might say, well, maybe that's for those guys. You know, I don't know. But they may not have that same idea to say maybe it's more directed for the Native American people without creating some kind of controversy. And then the other idea is maybe if we did meet over here, that we would meet at the Indian Center. And so if it's at the Indian Center, then again, it could kind of create a natural filter. But you can see why I could look here with a reservation here, and then there's another reservation down here that also has about another 12,000 people down here. And so there's two reservations, but my main focus is I would like to hit some of these guys to create future preachers. So my time is up, but any final questions, thoughts, anything else? Yes.
I just have one question about working with the different tribes. Is there any racism amongst the Indian tribes? Like, will there be an issue between you going from reservation to reservation?
Don't know yet. Okay. I don't know yet. Well, I've got about 10 months to figure out some of this. Still have a lot of research. We're looking to do this of June of next year. So we've got about 10 months to still do a lot more research and findings and different things going on. So, yes.
Are there some Indian churches that are already in Phoenix?
No.
Where do they worship? Do they go back to the reservation, or they just not worship at all?
There are a few at some of the existing congregations, like Northside has one, Northgate has one, but it's just like scattered. Maybe this one has one person.
I mean, where are the non-Christian Indians? Do they worship at all?
There are a few denominational churches that are here, so okay, a couple
that's,
of theirs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And then there's another, I think there's another Indian type church denomination over here. But the other ones that I know of, and again, I don't know a lot of people that are worshiping with, but they're worshiping in denominations. They're the ones that have made that transition, they're going into some of these denominations. So, again, some research that I still got to figure out on how to do some of that. Yes?
In your experience, what is usually the biggest hurdle to get over for Native American to come to Christ?
Well, that's a great question, because there's really two kinds of groups of people with the Native American. One are those that are more traditional, and that's a very challenging step because they see Christianity as a white man's religion, and they've got their traditions. And if they give up this tradition, you basically give up being Native. Like, I'm giving up being Navajo to become a Christian. On the other side of it, there are a lot of people who are raised in denominational backgrounds. And so they believe in Christ. They believe in the Bible. And so with those guys, it's just a matter of teaching them the truth. They can be converted just like everybody else. But the ones that are traditional, much more difficult. Much more difficult on that one. So, any final thoughts or questions? Okay, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Josh. We wish you Godspeed and stay in touch.
Thank you.
We'll be anxious for your next report.
Yes.
Tell us how things are going. So,
thank you.
Dave?
Before I get into the tip, who's leading closing prayer?
I am.
Remember a fellow by the name of Pat Baldwin. Pat and Marlene Baldwin are members over at Columbine. He's going in for some big-time back surgery tomorrow morning. So, Pat Balbin. In the tip of the day, we're looking at personal care and hygiene. Hope you're all wearing your deodorant. Hair must always be neatly trimmed. Hair growth on the back of the head is not allowed over the collar when the student is standing. Hair growth will be allowed over the ears if the student's hair is neatly styled. Sideburns must be trimmed level with the bottom of the earlobes. That's my tip for the day.
That's great. Father in heaven, we come before you at this time. We thank you so much, Father, for the work that Josh and his wife Divine are trying to do. We pray, Father, that you would bless them in their work. We pray, Father, that you would watch over them and give them success. And we pray, Father, that you would open the hearts of many Native Americans in that area. And Father, just that you would bless that work and be with them and use them to your glory. We pray, Father, for Donnie as he travels to Guatemala next week. We pray for his safety and for the success of his work as well. We also pray that you would be with Pat Bellman, Father, who is going to be having some back surgery soon. We pray, Father, for him, for his recovery, for his family, as they care for him, for his doctors, Father, that you may be with them and help them, Father, to do the best that they can. Use them. And we pray, Father, for a short recovery for him. We pray, Father, a blessing upon this school and this church and upon each student that's here. We would do the best we can and try to always grow to be more in line with what you want us to be. It's in Christ we pray. Amen.
Check to see if you're going to Indiana and you answer that information.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. I know this was, you know, leaving tomorrow. It was kind of cramming it, but I really appreciate you doing this.
Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you.
That's exciting. Yeah, I'm pumped.
I didn't really like the idea of you going. I think it's a nice
guy. Oh, you got me!
Yeah.